Check, check, check. Oh, that's that looks a lot better.
Un, deux, trois.
Quatre, cinq, six. Ah, stumped you, eh? This is Gappage. Welcome to episode number 008. Seems we just put one out just a while ago.
Well, it's because you have that long, like, you wait 6 months before you put out a new show. It seems like they're all...
I suppose so. It seems like they're coming one after another. It's, I like that. Well, listen, I've got a can of Kokanee Glacier Fresh beer in front of me, mountain size. And I have this symbolically. I bought it today with that nice picture of the mountains to represent new Canadian listeners, maybe Westerners, people in Calgary, Edmonton, out all the way to Vancouver, because, excuse me, those are those pepper nuts. Ooh. Cheers, folks. I think we really need to focus on getting some listeners to this show.
Yes.
And you are drinking?
Pabst Blue Ribbon in honor of our new American listeners, if we didn't alienate mm-hmm. the whole lot of them last episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think pretty well every episode. I've never been on a show yet where I haven't said something insulting about Americans. And I don't know why. It's not anything personal. God damn it, there I go again. The whole point of me buying an American beer was to welcome our American listeners. So, scratch that. Good. Maybe you do a better job. Maybe you're a better American ambassador than I am. You probably are.
Maybe. A little bit.
There's a lot of people who don't think there's any difference in why even bother worrying about it, and that frightens me. But.
Whoa. Having spent almost my whole time in Australia being confused for an American, I don't take that necessarily as an offense. To outsiders, mm-hmm. they can't tell the difference.
I know. And why should they, you know?
Why should there be a difference?
Well.
The Olympics is over. Let go of your nationalism. That happened while we were gone. For that long hiatus.
Maybe that's why we took it off. We figured the world was wrapped up. Involved in the Olympics. Now we were on a topic. Or just before. While we were in the studio getting the equipment set up. We had a little bit of a chat. About this new world you have discovered on your Xbox, would you like to
tell us about that? Yeah, I bought a new Xbox game called Just Cause 2, and it's a... I actually found it was one of these, you know, like Grand Theft Auto, drive around and make a bunch of crimes and do a bunch of violent shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But I liked it's set on a tropical island, and they give you the whole island to explore. And they tout that it's 400 square kilometers of virtual world to walk through. And it's...
So you
first
really
of all, I found that the conceit of the storyline interesting because you play as a CIA agent who is there to destabilize the dictatorship on the island. That's the game...
That's who you are. That's your player.
That's who you are. So that's why you're going around causing a bunch of chaos and making stuff blow up. Because you're an evil CIA agent. And that seemed fine to me.
Now, was this only Xbox or is it PS3 as well?
It's on PS3 and it's on the computer on the PC as well.
And what's it called?
Just Cause 2. It's the sequel to the...
It's a sequel to it. Did you have Just Cause?
I didn't. I never played it before. So it's just everyone was talking about how... visually stunning this game is and how it's the attention to detail. I really like the kind of games where it's not you just walking through a path and hacking and slashing the monsters that come in your way until you get to the end of the game. I don't like that. I like having big open worlds to explore, multiple ways of doing things, having problems to solve, puzzles to solve. If there's ways that I can play with the physics in the game, that can be fun too. And this game gives all of those things, but it's just...
Give me an example of playing with the physics in the game. Because I'm not a gamer. I've raced, you know, cars, and I'm just fascinated by you can have a car racing game on PS3. I think that's so cool. But I've never really played these. The first one I was ever exposed to was when my son's Nintendo, he had Donkey Kong. And to me, I've never seen anything greater than that. I love Donkey Kong. I thought that was just brilliant. And I think it made such an impression on me because it was the first game I actually sat and watched somebody play. But there's something I loved about it, like Donkey Kong's girlfriend, the characters, the whole world of it. It wasn't violent.
Yeah.
It was just a wonderful creation of something unusual. And I think I got stuck on that point. So the other games that my son is playing now, probably Tour of Duty or some others, I don't know.
Call of Duty? Yes.
He and his friends, like, every day after school, and you take the role of a sniper, and he's got his headset on, and they're talking to each other. But my son is on that from the time he gets home from school until bedtime. So I'm figuring he's on the computer at least 8-10 hours a day. Minimum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was much the same way. Most of my attention with my father when I was in high school was revolving around me wasting all that time on the computer.
So,
the joke's on him because now I work with computers, and as it turns out, it wasn't just fucking around the whole time. I was learning how to do stuff, but...
Well, I think my son is largely fucking around the whole
time. Yeah, I think he's playing Call of Duty for 8 hours. Yeah,
he's having fun.
It's fun, and it's teamwork, there's tactics and strategy involved in it.
This is right.
So you're asking about physics.
Yeah.
An example of playing
with
physics.
For example, like when you said that.
So something in this game that you can do is your character has a grappling hook thing.
Okay.
So you can attach one end of the grappling hook to a car, and then the other end of the grappling hook, say, to, I don't know, on the ground in front of the car. So the car will be driving along until the grappling hook catches, and then flip over on its front. So, or you can say there's some cop that's in your way, and then you can grab a grappling hook onto him, and then, I don't know, go hang him from a tree, and he gets pulled and he gets strung up from the... He doesn't, like, hang.
Okay, yeah. He doesn't go through the blood.
It doesn't go...
Blood doesn't gush
yeah,
out.
Yeah, he's not hanging from the tree, but... Yeah. But, or, you know, there's a car driving by, and all of a sudden he gets pulled away, or...
Now, could you yank him in front of a car and have the car run him over?
Yeah.
You could.
There's another thing in this game is you have a stunt parachute that you can deploy at any time.
Yeah.
So one of the things that it turns out you can do in this game then is you get the grappling hook and you can aim it at something far off in the distance and it starts pulling you towards it.
Mm-hmm.
And then right before you get to it, you unfurl your parachute, and it has a slingshot effect.
Okay.
So if you think about it, you have this forward momentum.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you pop out a parachute, it catches all the air and pulls you, you get pulled up, and that forward momentum still carries. So I was playing for an hour, I'm not even kidding, it took me an hour to climb this mountain in this game with the parachute, but that was fun to do because there's...
So did you figure all this out as you're doing it? Like, you're not reading an instruction book,
instruction,
get the grappling hook, do this.
Yeah,
and
the instructions didn't say it. It was just figure it out.
That's the fun of it.
Yeah, I had two helicopters chasing me and decided to grapple them to each other. And then they sort of were pulling on each end of the grapple, and they both crashed to the ground because they couldn't...
That's a good example of the physics at work.
Yeah, it's all about just playing with it, or yeah. Yeah, you grapple a car onto a helicopter, and then you swing it to the side of a building or something, because you were out of ammo.
How far have you gone in this game? Like,
have you met
the dictator or anything?
I've spent maybe 20 minutes doing the actual missions, and the counter just came up right before I left to come over here, and it said, you've been playing this game for 7 hours.
Okay.
So I've invested, like, 8 or 6 hours in, let's say, an hour in playing, like, the game proper and going through the story, in 7 hours in just fucking around in this virtual world and exploring it, and
that's fun. That's as
satisfying
fun.
It's you climb to the top of the mountain and jump off and unfurl your parachute and float around for 20 minutes. It's actually pretty, and there's actually nice things to see. That I was telling you, they had good attention to detail. You fall in the water, there's coral reefs under there.
See, I think
it's just crazy.
I think we've actually found a gappage here, because I don't get it.
Oh,
I can hear it and I understand why somebody else might be really attracted to this, the visuals and so on. But it's just not something that's in me to do to spend that amount of time playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, the thing is, I don't play any games on my computer anymore. I don't play solitaire. I don't have any games on my computer. I don't want to. I have enough. To me, the game is, I see Twitter as a game.
Okay.
And sending out messages to people, making jokes, sending some public, sending some private messages, waiting for an answer.
Right.
That's my game. But it's actually touching real people I know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, because I hadn't thought about it until now. That's why I'm using Twitter. It's a game. It's fun. It's calling out to people and poking, touching people. But it's real people that I know. And there's no story in there. There's none of this. So it's a very different.
And I do both. But I don't see. Yeah. I don't see that. I see that as socializing. And sometimes it's like, oh, I don't want to look at Twitter. I don't want to look at Facebook. I just want to fall into this virtual island and spend. And I'm telling you, I've spent 7 hours playing that game, and I'm not bragging. I'm kind of embarrassed that I've spent all this time in this thing, but it's just amazing to me that it's someone put this together like that, and it's only going to get crazier from here.
That part I can see. To me, like when it comes to the brilliance, I'm just still, to me, Gran Turismo, whatever. When I first saw that on the PlayStation, like, holy shit, you know, and to be able to choose your cars and look at them from different angles, I can't get past that. Even though the graphics were pretty crummy by comparison, you know, the cheering people on the sidelines. But to have a car, you know, sliding on the oil or in the sand and stuff, it amazes me. I'm impressed by this whole thing. And in the beginning, when my son first got it, I really did have fun racing cars, like, because that's something that I'm interested in, you know. My dream was, I want a PT Cruiser, I want to make it as fast as possible. And so it was fun to buy the stuff, get the money, win a couple of races, get these stuff, soup it up, bigger engine, better tires. So I guess that's an equivalent in a way. It's just a different
type
of mission.
You were getting all into the you know, I don't have the strength of will or the balls to actually jump off of a skyscraper and base jump. But I'll do it in this game. In the same way, you don't have the expendable income or the time to spend tuning up a PT Cruiser to the point, or even the opportunity necessarily to then race it with other people. And that's
but
what
you see, I don't see any parallel, though. I don't see any similarity between me souping up a PT Cruiser on this game and having a real life. It's not a substitute,
and you're not learning. When you play Rock Band, you're not learning to play a guitar, but it still conveys the same feeling of wanting to feel like a rock star.
Well, that's a better analogy, the Rock Band one. And again,
but you still feel it's not the same feeling necessarily. It is scratching that itch
that's right.
Saying, I want to...
Yeah, I got a fast car and watch this thing go.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. Now, Rock Band's another one. The thing is, I'm one of those people, you know, the last picked for any game when I was a teenager and so on, a kid, I should say. And I don't have good reflexes, so I could never win at any of these games. I'm not fast enough. I'd get frustrated. And now, the older I've got, now I'll be 62 next week, in fact. There's no way, you know, I'm going to get good skills and reflexes to actually win at something, if winning was the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably, you know, a lack of interest there. Maybe we would be a better fit. But I don't have room for anything else. I don't have room for games in my life. It just seems way too busy.
The games are what I grew up. That was my toy, really. Once I hit a certain age, that the video games, like that video game system, was my toy. And it's just, the games have, the people making the games have gotten older, and the people playing the games have gotten older, and by extension, then the games, maybe they're not reaching the games that are out there haven't reached the same level of maturity as some of, like really good cinema. But I think we're getting there eventually.
But maybe the other thing is, we're extending the time that we're playing games. Because when you're a little kid, you know, you're allowed to play games until it's time to grow up. And then either you got to get into real sports, or plan your future, whatever the hell. But you're not you're not given the time. Whereas now, through these games, you at the age, wherever you're at, can extend your game playing life and time much longer. We move it moves into adulthood now. We're still playing games that, you know, and I don't, what does that, I don't know if there's any meaning or significance to that, but it is a fact that, whereas if I'm playing with these simple games, guns, cars, you know, cowboys and Indians, whatever, you just stop at a certain point. You stop at the age of maybe 14 or something. You just don't play.
But you still, you just said you still play games. You're still, when you were doing those games, maybe the game wasn't as much about pretending to be a cowboy, pretending to be an Indian. It was actually the socializing, and that's what you miss, and that's why that's what you're doing.
It was
with your social networking.
Well, I think maybe now, I guess the parallel is getting drunk.
Yeah.
Stoned. To me, that's my adult game plan, you know? Get a little bit silly, laugh. It is. Well.
Yeah, so it just struck me as weird that I'm so enthralled to this activity, this stupid virtual world, and that's very few things redeeming in a story sense of this thing, but it's...
Do you have ambiguous feelings about it? Is there any guilt attached to it?
Not that I'm trying to assign any. I should have been doing all kinds of stuff, like taxes. I gotta get my shit done for that.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't done that. I actually had that explained to me last week. Did you know that I've gone on my whole life, adult life, having never had taxes explained to me? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. But... And then my dad sat me down and explained, and I'm like, oh, okay, it all makes sense now. It's all been cogently explained to me, and I'm wondering what other things are there in the world that I'm just avoiding or just plain oblivious to because I don't understand why.
You know, it's interesting talking to you because in a way, and I don't mean this demeaning in any way, but you are a link to my children.
I don't, and it's
helpful to me to try and understand because like my son, I told this story, I won't repeat it on the Dixon James podcast. He destroyed his phone. He, you know, he said, Dad, I lost my phone. Then when we probed a little deeper, no, I didn't lose it. I deliberately smashed it because I didn't want it anymore. Not checking first to see that, wait a minute, we have a 2-year plan on that phone.
Yeah.
And a more mature response might have been to hand me back the phone, say, Dad, I don't want the phone anymore. Mm. But at the same time, I could also understand his frustration, and he's rejecting everything of the real world. But the thing is, he's rejecting computers. He's the one who's sort of gone vegan. He's gone out to left field a little bit.
Okay.
Is he the
one kid on in Toronto that isn't on Facebook?
No. He is on that, but he sort of resents it, and he resents the amount of control we have. I mean, he's thinking, you know, that societal, not just societal pressures, but I guess the state of the world. Hmm. But he feels, he's young enough at the age of 20, that I think he feels he can make a change.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps the cynicism is, it's there, there's a bitterness about the mess we've made of the world, but he and maybe people like him think that they can maybe...
I hope try and fix it. I hope that stays the case because I know when I was that age, I also felt the same, and it took me these 7-8 years to get this depressed. So,
how do we fight that? Not that I want to be a repeat of our last show, but how do you get out of that slump? How do we regain hope?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person in currently the wrong state of mind because I've currently been depressed for like the last 2 months, so I'm not hopeful about a lot of things.
Now, the music you played in, get back, you were mentioning on our last podcast, a couple of weeks ago, whatever, you were talking about this. You're very successful.
You gotta keep a straight face to work, man. All right.
You're talking about a very successful music podcast you've got out. But it's electronic music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that must tie in to the games, to the mindset that goes with the games, to maybe your outlook on the world. Because I'm thinking, the music to me, I'm looking up at I have a Beatles poster here on my wall. Right. The lyrics were so important to me, what they were saying. And there were messages of hope and love. And I found there was nourishment in that.
I do still play songs that have lyrics in them, and I don't just... it's not just electronic music, which is bleeps every, you know, couple seconds kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's singing in it. It's kind of a mix of sort of what hip-hop has grown into with some more of the electronic elements as well. And I also like playing rock music in it in my show as well.
So you mix it up.
I do.
I should listen sometime.
That is sort of the central thesis of Colors Out of Space, is that it's multi-genre, and that I don't necessarily tie one song into another because they're in the same genre.
Yeah.
I'm tying things together based on a feeling or a vibe, if you will, or
yep.
a topic of the lyrics or something, and I'm trying to find the different connection points that one song has to all the other songs.
So, I hear you, and when I choose songs for the Dixon James podcast, that's what takes me so long. It's nothing to record the show, but to find a song that I feel fits somehow. And sometimes it's very, very arbitrary or random. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just what my son has handed me. But quite often there's a... like, I know, okay, it's got to be... it can't be that, can't be that, can't be that. Got to be this one. But I'll spend hours to find the song sometimes. You must spend a lot of time then making these matches.
I spend almost a full week paring down the track list and swapping songs out and trying different orders of songs and then putting them into my DJ software and trying different points to transition from one song to another. And I might spend 2 hours working on transitioning on one song to the next and be like, you know what, neither of these songs belong in here, and delete them and move on. So,
well, that's good. I mean, that's a sign you're taking it seriously. Now, to me, you see, that's different from the game playing. It isn't. In a way, it's game playing. But at the end of it, you've created something.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving it out to other people. You're sharing it. Whereas the game itself...
yeah, you're just
very insular.
Time.
You're lost. You're in there. You're gone.
You're giving all your time to that thing.
Yeah, like it's grabbed you. Yeah. And so
and I'm
on.
Not I'm not completely divorced from the rock world. I think what happened to me in terms of why I listen to mostly electronic music now instead of rock music... is when I was recording the Closet Geek show.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to so much bad indie rock music. Mm-hmm. So much of the stuff that I would go through and download 300 songs in a week, and
oh my God.
And my podcast would be 8 songs long. Most of that was absolute shit. And it's just got to the point now where I'm afraid of new rock music because there's so many things that can make it bad.
See, I wonder if that term even makes sense anymore. Like, when you say rock music, there's nothing comes to mind. If you say rock music from the 60s, I understand. I can think of, you know, any number of groups.
Well, when I say,
but when you say rock music today, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, rock music today certainly isn't on the pop stations or anything like that. It's on the pop stations, it's hip-hop.
Is rock not already dead and gone then? Is buried? Is it not just, you know...
it might be. I mean, the alternative scene or whatever.
I understand that better.
But I conflate that with rock. I think when I say rock, I'm thinking that. Okay. I'm thinking the continuum that is alternative, hard rock and heavy metal a little bit. But I don't listen to so much of that.
So, the show that you're putting out and this music is meant for people to dance to. Is that the idea that people will hear it? Is that not tied into what's a popular drug where you end up with a soothe in your mouth? Ecstasy, yeah. Is that not tied in? Is it part of that whole movement? This is just music that you just keep going and going and going and going and going?
Well, I mean, it's certainly part of that same culture, I guess. Yeah. And
is that who you're appealing to?
Well, I mean... there are people that go to dance clubs and dance music and that take drugs, and there's some that don't, and I'm probably one of those people that does, but not all the time. And over time, I've grown to think that the having some sort of chemical in you to better help you experience that is less important.
Yeah, I don't know if that's where I was going. I'm trying to understand who are these 100 million people that were in the yeah. show? And, like, what do they want out of it? Is it they just want to dance? Is that, like, why would somebody... Or do some people just want this as background? Like, well, I mean, my son only listens to that music. The guy who's the computer guy, yeah. the 18-year-old, who's on the computer 10, 12, 14 hours a day, just listens... He won't let me listen to his music, but I know it's just techno and stuff like that. And, yeah. And abstract, there's no... None of the ween stuff that my other son listens to. Mm-hmm. And
it's probably more like that stuff, yeah.
So there's a mindset that goes with it.
There is a mindset, and I work to that music. I have my... You've met Colin, I think, my friend Colin. He
The young gentleman, the young fine-looking man who borrows your cologne to pick up women on the subway.
Yeah, fucker. And he...
He was in our podcast a couple of episodes
ago. Yeah, oh, right, yeah, he was on a couple episodes
ago. Yeah, that Colin, 006.
He listens to it when he goes to run. That's what he likes the shows for. I have other people that told me that, you know, I have this Facebook page, this Facebook group, I guess.
How come you've never sent an invitation to me to join your Facebook page, you know?
Because I didn't think that you would find it interesting.
Well, I might not, but I'm impressed as a friend that you've been very successful at something.
I know, but
I'm in Facebook now. What do I Google? What do I search for?
In the search box, type colors out of space with a U.
Colors from space? Out of. Yes, I keep getting it.
So, yeah, I have people on the page there that tell me they played it at their party and everyone liked it. So I don't know exactly what everyone's using it for. But, I'd like to... Actually, I might end up doing a live show later this summer. My friends are organizing a charity event, and they know I've been doing this thing. And so it may turn out that I get to play a live show for some people, which is has me nervous.
And that's what you'd want to do, though.
Yeah, it's where I want to go with it.
Colors out of space. I'll find it. No, don't worry. I'll find it.
Yeah, there you go. That's the one.
Here we are. Colors out of space. Can I become a fan?
Yes, you may.
Hey! I am now with it. I'm a fan of Colors Out of Space.
There you go.
Brought to you by my good friend, the... Wait a minute. Don't tell me. T.G. T.C.G. It wasn't Gilbert. It was T.C.G. Middle name.
Kind of metal.
Sterling. TCG Sterling.
Yeah.
Sitting in front of me.
Yeah.
Holy folks. Folks, do you realize this is a historic occasion? All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Oh, fun factoid. My brother and I both have names of Silver as our middle names. My parents or my dad. See, my dad...
Is he getting along better since
that last podcast we did, but
yeah,
I don't know. He wanted my brother and I to have the same initials.
Okay, so yeah, but your dad, you're telling me, was he not the guy who planned to be a lawyer from the age of 12?
Oh yeah, he's.
So what's your brother's name then?
My brother's name is Brian.
Brian.
Alexander.
Yeah.
Sylvan.
Sylvan. Ooh.
So yeah, now
I think you got off lucky with yours. I don't know.
Yeah, Sylvan. Sylvan's a kind of silver. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Sterling's better though. Sterling is.
That's an odd choice, you know.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know.
Would I get along with your dad? If I sat down and had a scotch with him or something?
I don't know. Probably.
I get along with anybody.
Yeah, you get along well with anyone. Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, would you get along with my son? Yeah, probably. Hey, it's getting creepy. Let's not go here.
Actually, I play games with the son of a friend of mine from work. He plays a lot of Halo, which is like Call of Duty, genre.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how you have, you know, trouble in terms of, you know, the hand-eye coordination and the skills required to...
Oh, yeah. I'm way past that.
Yeah. Well, this kid is... Like, when I was 13, the style of games, this sort of 3D looking out of first-person view with a gun in front of you, that...
Yeah.
Yeah. Genre yeah. was invented when I was a teenager. Okay. So that was new to me.
Yeah.
This kid that's, I guess he's 16, 17 or something like that, has grown up with that already being there.
Yeah.
And he plays at a level that is just beyond, like, it blows my mind how good this kid is. It's, he will play against me and all my friends. Like, we'll have a team of like 12 guys against yeah. him, and he'll beat us like 50-2.
Is that right?
50-2.
Like, he just got reflexes. He's fast. He's probably a bright kid too.
He went out to try out for I'm sure, or I don't know. Most people don't know that it exists because it's, I don't know if it's lame or not, but there's a professional gaming league.
Well, it makes sense. Why wouldn't you? You know,
there's Jesus, enough people it's playing perfect this. Sense. Yeah. Well, there's a professional gaming league, and he went to some Toronto tryout and like killed it. Like, he was top of the tournament or something like that. And my friend came over, he was so proud of his son. He's like, he won the Halo tournament. And I'm like, wow, this is weird.
That is interesting. No, to me,
it's weird. Not having that is crazy.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And giving kids trophies. Wow. You know, it's not every kid can play baseball or football or whatever. But if a kid is really good at this and he's successful, why would you not reward him? Why would you not have competitions?
There's a game called StarCraft, which is a real-time strategy game. And that that genre has you playing the role of a general, looking on the top down on a map. Mm-hmm. And you're clicking and selecting your tanks and individual units and sending them off against the...
It sounds like that game where people play in real life when you go into the store, the bloody store, and you have the little pieces you move and you shake the dice, you know, that eat so much.
It's not exactly like that. It's top down. It's you're saying, all right, this squad, I want you to go attack that base, and then you're going back to your own base to make sure you're still managing your resources coming in and you're defending yourself, all of that stuff. That game came out in 1998, and the reason why I'm bringing it up is because they're making the sequel right now, and it's getting a lot of press. The original game, though, became so popular in South Korea that they have television stations. They have commentators.
But was it the news just recently? Yeah, South Korea limiting hours where they're going to cut down when kids can be online, like bans between certain hours in the morning. Yep. And I understand that. Like, you think, no, you can't do that.
They have a major problem with video game addiction. Their video game culture is different from that in North America. That it's not you know, everyone having a computer at their house.
Yeah.
It's not about that. It's they have these things called game bots. I can't remember. Yeah. I think bot's the word for it. But it's essentially like a internet cafe.
Yeah.
That's open all night. They serve food and drinks and stuff in there. And all the kids go to hang out. And you spend, you know, $5 or something. And you get to play games all day.
Now, would it be different if they played at home? Would people complain? Because, like, this is big. Like, they're saying, hey, we got a problem here. Now, there were Korea's worried about productivity and, you know.
I think that the fact that it's this... It's like going to a bar kind of thing, but you're not an adult yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that atmosphere contributes to it. And the fact that you're hanging out with all of your friends, and what, you're going to leave your friends early?
And there might be shady characters hanging out at these places. They, it's not in home.
Also in the news came out that there's a scandal in the Korean StarCraft League because it came out that for several years, there were whole games and whole tournaments that were thrown, like people throwing a boxing match. It was like that. And it was the organized crime infiltrating the StarCraft leagues and controlling the coaches.
Oh, well, this is nuts.
Yeah.
This is nuts.
And I'm like, it's
that level. Come on.
Whoa. Wow. But that's how...
So there's money involved.
Yeah, that's how crazy... Then. Like, these guys are... Our heroes are for the youth. They're on the magazines and stuff. No wonder these kids are playing to the point of addiction or something.
It's such a weird world. Japan has pachinko pros, people who play. And pachinko is the stupidest looking thing. It's, you know, you sit in front of this box and these silver balls fall down, and you know,
yeah.
supposedly you control them, and there are people who say, yeah, I can make, they can make money. You win gifts, you go around the corner, because they can't give money, and you sell a gift, and you get money for the gift you just won. Mm-hmm. So it's a deal. And there's lots of people who just drop out. They're not going to go to work, they're not going to go anywhere. They'll make their money as Apache Pro. But, so you can see, especially in those cultures, hey, this is not where we want our society heading. You yeah. know?
Well, I can see also myself, like it's, I'm having enough problems dealing with the 9-to-5 culture we have here.
Yeah.
There they have the salaryman culture, the,
mm-hmm.
you know, get a hotel room because you've got to be at work early the next day. That's, you know, crazy to me, but...
Well, this is interesting because this is one of our gappages. Mm-hmm. You obviously know so much more about this entire world than I ever will or would ever care to, but I'm fascinated by it. I'm really glad to have access to you as a person that I can actually talk about these things and hear about them and maybe, like I say, indirectly get a better understanding of my own kids,
mm-hmm.
the one son anyway. I'm sort of glad my sons are so different that the one is completely rejected and he's only on the computer for his art, for chatting, Googling, I suppose, this and that. But the other one is a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives, and yet, I don't see it as all bad because he knows who his friends are. Tonight when I phoned to say I won't be home for supper, his friend was over and they're sitting there together in the living room playing these games and having fun. And
mm-hmm.
it is very social. You know, I think that's just wrong when people say it alienates people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily the case.
No, and in some cases it gives a social group to people that perhaps can't relate to the people that they live with. And I think one of the best things that the internet has given us is allowing people to congregate about things
mm-hmm.
that aren't directly related to their geography. Like, I can do a podcast about something and then find some new friends and find some people that are into that thing. And it's not, before it was, I'm interested in,
yeah.
you know, games, whatever your thing is, but then you have to find people in your geographic area. And if you're in a small town, good luck with that.
So you're saying this is the glory of the internet itself. It's so far reaching that in fact it is encouraging and it's giving more opportunities for
it's allowing affinity groups to form divorced from geography.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is true. And then that. Those very groups, for example, we're both going to PAB.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. You signed up, didn't you?
I signed up. I just got a workout hotel room and whatever.
Yeah. Fortunately, somebody's offered me a place to stay because I can't afford the hotel at this point.
It may turn out that that's the case with me, and then once again it'll be the second PAB in a row that I bought a ticket and didn't go.
Oh, don't do that. Jesus, no, man, you can't. You have to go to this one.
I know. I gotta go see Tom Merritt.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be sitting beside the guy on the panel. I think that's pretty well.
Are you kidding? I love that.
Well,
I get to do a show with the Scarborough dude. I don't know how I score that gig.
Well, the thing is, I didn't have any ideas about this thing, and then Dave Broadbeck
mm-hmm.
of many podcasts presented this idea about sort of what do you keep from your boss? Something to do with the identity, you know? Like, do you tell your boss you're doing a podcast, or why wouldn't you, or do you dare? Can't remember the title, and then sort of tagged me on as one of the people. And it was, yeah, I've created the Scarborough dude. And for me, what's interesting is that I'm actually right now, I think, very close to a turning point where I would never want any of my students to know that I am the Scarborough dude or that they would hear this. I want them to listen to podcasts to learn English,
yeah.
but I don't want to make any connection between me yeah. as their English teacher,
yeah.
who has a very distinct, you know, I have a role to play. I'm the good Canadian. I'm the fair guy. And I want to present, I want them to see me in a certain role, being fair, unbiased.
Right. It's like that
sensible.
A couple shows ago, and we were talking about the ways that you have to act differently in the fatherhood role.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But where the difference is coming, I'm beginning to think because I've become fairly successful as a Scarborough dude, I shouldn't be hiding that from my employees or employers anymore. I should say, hey, you may not like the way I express myself, my opinions, or some of the things I say, but I've taken on this whole new world that's new to me too, and have achieved some degree of success, and get to speak at conferences. This is the kind of thing you should be looking for in your employees. People, this is career development, mm-hmm. whether or not it's directly related to teaching. That's, in fact, the paper I just wrote today that I finished just before you come.
Oh.
Was on that very topic. Yeah, how are you going to develop yourself professionally? And I'm saying podcasting is how I am actually making myself a better teacher. Because it's giving me confidence. It's making me, putting me in a position whereas I wouldn't stand up in front of a group of teachers and talk about how to teach the present perfect or whatever the hell they're going to be. But I wouldn't talk in front of a group of, you know, strangers about podcasting and its significance and its importance and its, you know, implications and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's giving me a new confidence, which in turn is making me a better teacher. Sorry if that was an unrelated topic.
No, it's not. That makes total sense to me.
Well, we were talking about Pat, that's why.
Right.
So being on this panel was somebody apparently famous. So why is this guy famous? What is it about him? He was manager of CNET or director?
Well, he's one of the managing editors of CNET. So CNET is most people are probably familiar with it, even if they don't know the name. They run a whole lot of popular websites about mostly about tech news and product reviews.
Yeah.
But if you've ever been to downloads.com, that's them.
Okay.
I think there's snooze.com. They're...
So it's a network.
It's a network of sites. They have in the
blogs
past,
and podcasts.
Blogs, podcasts, actual editorial reviews. Like they review just about every computer product that comes out. So if you want to go
I've seen the name very often. Yeah.
I think they're probably reviews.com too, and then you go there and it's product reviews of everything. So what's this guy's... also do podcasts.
So what's this guy's name? Tom
Merritt.
Merritt.
Yeah, so he does a daily show called Buzz Out Loud, which is sort of...
Now, Molly is on that show, and I kind of like Molly. Right?
Oh, you know who Molly is.
Well, I've listened to Molly on several shows. She's been on Leo Laporte's, I think, been on here, and she just sounds kind of sexy. You know what I find a little bit of a turn-on is a woman who knows about technology. I find that exciting. For some reason. I don't know why. Do you? You're looking at me like, why would you? Or like, that's weird. But it's a turn-on to me. I think it's so cool. Because normally you don't associate women in that field. But when they speak, like Molly does, with his confidence,
mm-hmm.
knowing their stuff, they're, holy fuck, that's really ballsy. That's good. Wow.
Yeah. Well,
I admire that.
I'm not looking at you funny. I agree. I'm just trying to... come up with the words, and I'm not...
You're troubled by this, and I'm very curious now.
I don't want to offend anyone, but...
Uh-oh.
See, now I'm not going to say it.
Oh, shit.
No,
is it about Molly in particular, or about any woman?
It's about women, and it's about technology, and it's about how...
Dangerous territory.
I'm not trying... I don't want to generalize, because I haven't... In my experience, I've had several interactions with, and maybe it's just my stupid brain thinking, it's just women and maybe everyone else has this. I also have the same interaction pattern with older people where it's almost like, I don't understand this, I don't want to understand this, and it's...
And I'm trying to break that stereotype,
right?
So,
if you were saying,
had a big bosomed woman come in here and talk about... Oh, no, you like small tits, right?
Somebody come in here, big tits.
Oh, big tits, okay. So a woman with big tits come in here and talk about technology.
Oh, jeez, it'd be over.
All right.
My jaw would just be on the ground the whole time. No, actually, I will say that I make a concerted effort, actually, if I'm, like, at one of these podcasting events or whatever...
To approach the women with large breasts.
No, I make a point to not be...
Staring at the large breast.
To not be I have this idea, and I don't know if it's true or not, that the women that end up at these events and stuff, especially the attractive ones...
I'm scared of where you're going with this.
All the nerds with no social skills glom around the hot girls at the party. That's what was true at PodCamp Toronto. that was true.
And most of the
thing,
What's wrong with that?
I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be going over to the hot girl to talk to her because she's the hot girl that showed up at the thing. I would rather...
They're related, but it strikes me as two different topics.
What?
Well, the fact you're talking about, you don't want to be appear to be some geek who's just going to somebody because they appeared at a PodCamp thing.
Right.
But initially, I was talking about women who... I think is very, very cool that they have this kind of knowledge and confidence and speak about it. I guess they're the same. But I don't fully get your concern. You don't want to be associated with those other nerds who pretending they're interested in their knowledge, but in fact they're only looking at their tits?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And so you want to say, I like you for your brains, not just those breasts that I'm staring at.
One of my major problems is that I will be talking up some woman in a bar and, you know, be laser focused and trying to be a normal, but I'm just trying to get laid kind of guy. And they'll say something that's suddenly more interesting to me than that plan, and I end up spending the whole night talking about whatever the hell...
Talking geek,
because that's more interesting to me than the other thing, and
but that, that's
to my
good.
Own detriment.
But that's good, though. That's the way it should be. Right?
Maybe not.
No, seriously, you're appreciating the person for what they know and who they are, in a sense.
That gets you stuck in the friend zone.
Well, it does. You know, but I think that you're introducing a new theme here. You're talking about your the idea of you don't want that. So there's a conflict. I can see. You're talking about a conflict of interest.
Yeah. Conflict of interest, really. Yeah.
There was just a story in the paper today about somebody at, I think it was a Money Mart, being brought before the Human Rights Commission in Ontario because he would only just focus on the women's breasts. He wouldn't look at their face, just look at their breasts.
What's this, Hooters?
No. A Money Mart store. Yeah, oh. And the women employees. And this was a guy working there. And one of the women said, "Hey, I'm up here." And I thought that was a beautiful line. "Hey, I'm up here."
Never heard that.
No.
Really?
Well, I, maybe I have.
That's, so, a, that's a common thing.
Common one. Hey, I'm up here. Yeah, I guess so.
My that's eyes so are up here.
Yeah.
So, I often say, if your eyes are that big, that's where you're looking. But ooh, then I get the comeback.
Good comeback. Yeah. If only your eyes were nipples, I'd be up there too.
if only your eyes had nipples, I mean, yeah. We're the same.
So, all right. No, I think we got side. We were talking about Molly.
We're talking about Tom.
We were talking about Tom. I happened to mention, he was on a podcast with Call Out Loud, Shout Out Loud,
Buzz Out Loud. Yeah.
Which he's leaving to join Leo Laporte.
And that's crazy.
Now, you know what? I'm excited about. Holy shit. Because I think Leo Laporte is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that guy is just such a professional. He makes it seem so easy. Like, I've actually listened to his podcast, stopped it, gone back to watch the video of it. To see him, to see the screen behind him, to see the different people coming on, and actually watch the podcast.
I haven't actually watched it.
Oh, it's cool. And it's so well done.
He's sitting there, and then...
the visuals are perfect. It's him, and then behind him is the bank, the four people, and then somebody, he's got an engineer in there.
Yeah,
somebody,
he's got
boom,
a couple people.
Somebody else is doing it. That is so professionally done. But he makes it seem so easy. I had to watch it the time he went to South by Southwest and did the body surfing.
Oh, I have one to see
him off the scene. I saw the show when he did that, and there he was with his camera going across, and it was just kind of like it was self promotion.
Oh yeah,
because he was playing up to the fact maybe I'll try that, you know. But it was also very ballsy of the guy to do it.
Yeah, he's
but he makes
he's self promoting,
so
but he's
but why shouldn't he be? Is
he
issue,
embodies
right?
He embodies that amateur podcaster ethos. Where it's about promoting.
I don't see anything amateur about him. He seems such a pro to me.
He is, but he still has that nugget of
an average guy.
of an average guy, yeah. and he's not, yeah. you're not one of those people that show up at PodCamp like, I want to monetize some shit, and you just want to punch him in the mouth. He's not one of those people.
But he seems very, very cool. So for me, the excitement is that I'm going to be on a panel speaking with this Tom Merritt, who is going to be a regular on the Little Porcho. Holy fuck, that puts me talking about your six pixels of separation.
Yeah, no, you are.
This is very close. Well connected. Holy fuck, you know.
Mitch Joel keeps coming up at work.
Why?
Because people are reading his book.
Which one now?
Six Pixels of Separation. Oh, I know that guy. Looking like a rock star.
Yeah.
Sweet.
That is interesting.
Zach, how do you know him? Oh, we organized the first PodCamp Toronto together. Really?
Oh, good.
So that
there's
was
a lot to trade on in this. And it's interesting. It's quite real.
Disappointed that of all the... And that's not true because here I am doing the podcast with the Scarborough dude.
Hey,
famous person of Canadian podcasting. It's like, I look at all the organizers that were on PodCamp Toronto, and I'm the one that's progressed the least.
Well, now, you guys qualify that a little bit.
Well, we have Jay Muna.
Well, Jay is Jay, and he strikes me as he's being the same all the way through. You know, he's progressed because he's had a daughter. Yeah. Like that's what's
no, most I'm looking at sort of professional, I guess, is what I was looking at.
Well, how has he progressed? What's he done? Like,
I think he's working for Wild Apricot now. They do social media for nonprofits and that sort of thing. Okay. And I see a lot of participation in that.
Okay.
And I see him doing like community building and stuff for that. And that impresses me. I see Julian published a book.
Well, now Julian. But Julian's always in a league of his own.
Julian was always in a league of his own. But Julian published a book. Mitch published a book. Can't remember her name. Someone else published a book. Like, and then there's me. Who didn't do anything.
Well, what was your book on? I mean,
no, it's not like I was going to publish a book.
Julian and Chris got together on that one.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's... Yeah, I hear you. Look at all those other guys, you're like, I'm still doing the same shit. Awesome.
Well,
yeah.
It's a depressing note to end on.
Are we really at the end?
We're getting close. It means, really, I should sack you and get somebody else.
You really should. I don't know. Get Brodbecker or something like that.
He's got too many. You know what's interesting? And that's a good point. Thank you. Nice segue. Because I listened to him, because the other guy on the panel is Ken somebody or other, who is a librarian at Algoma University, where Dave teaches. So, Tom Merritt, Ken Withenthorpe or whatever, Dave Brodbeck is going to be the moderator, and myself on that panel. And they do a podcast called, God damn it, I had it. Second ago, I hate that. Another idea, the Suburban Transponders. Yeah, that's Adam Greatrix comes into my mind. Transcendence, no. And this actually makes my point. It's an intelligent word. And of course, I can't think of it because I'm not all that intelligent. And they talk and they get together and they have a few beers. And it's really intelligent conversation. They really jump from this point. The whole theme of the last one was GPS and you know, how much do you want people to know or would you?
Mm-hmm.
But there's those two, Ken and Dave, and then they had another friend on who was, you know, a sailor or something and knew stuff. And it was really intelligent conversation. And right away I thought, you know, I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of really high-level intelligent conversation on Gappage. And it's nothing against you, because I'm the dummy in this pair right here. I just don't have knowledge. I don't know any. I'm good at certain things. I'm really... I did a mediation the other night through the Youth Justice Committee, and I'm very proud of it. And I'm like, bam, that's my field. That's where I can hone in. But if you ask me factual questions about anything, I know nothing. The brain never did, and I've never been that way inclined. You probably have much more general knowledge and a better education than I do. Well, maybe it's not, but it's. So I don't know what I'm saying. I was just saying Gappage will be Gappage.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be what is this show anyway? We should try and.
Well, we were starting on trying to figure out what we're doing with this.
Yeah, and why would anybody want to listen to it?
It's kind of late in the game, eighth episode to be figured out.
I don't think so. I think it reflects our honesty, the fact that we keep coming back to that.
Yeah.
We're questioning What is this about? Is it worth somebody's time? Is there anything of value? I think we've had a very nice, today, a free-flowing conversation.
Yeah, I thought
it was. And I would like to think that it is some interest to somebody. But who would be interested? Like, why would somebody spend an hour of their time listening to the conversation we just had? Who are those people?
What would they get out of it? This podcast to people. And, well, why would I listen to that? I couldn't tell you why, but people do.
People do. And they have an hour to spare or something else. But there are so many podcasts out there. People are really come down. You got to pick and choose. And you got to be merciless. And people are giving stuff up. And I just, what I'm getting at, you're not going to get a whole lot of new factual information from us.
No, but it's perspectives, I think. I tell people to listen to it for the difference in the difference and also similarities in perspective, because I'm blown away by how much you and I think alike on things.
Mm.
From two people that come from entirely different generations.
That's for sure.
And I think that's important. I don't think that's the most important thing, but I do see that as significant for some reason.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I think maybe what we are doing is we're setting an example. Whether or not the conversation we have is important, what is important is that you and I are sitting together talking. Mm-hmm. That's important.
Yeah.
Exactly what we say, maybe of interest, may not be of interest. But the fact that you and I are engaged in an open and honest and enjoyable dialogue, that is what's important. We're sitting here having a few beer together.
Mm-hmm.
And if it happens that somebody else tunes in, picks this up, because I also think you have to think of podcasts as something that remain frozen in time, and that there's no reason that somebody in the future won't go back and, you know, randomly or whatever, just pick up bits and pieces.
Yeah,
I want to study, you know, what was it like around the, you know, early 21st century.
Well,
this is minefield.
They're putting the archive of Twitter into the library.
I saw that. Which kind of surprised. And I thought
that addresses that exact question, though, because the Library of people are like, why the fuck are they doing this? The Library of Congress doesn't just catalog published works. They also have diaries that were never meant to be published that people sent in. They have letters from, like, the Civil War that people wrote.
That's historic.
Right. Well, that's historic, but the large majority of the shit on Twitter is not historic. It gives context. Because it's not so much...
I suppose.
It's not just important to say these were the published works at the time.
Yeah.
To also say this is what people were talking about and thinking about at the time.
Yeah.
Because the media we have now is informed by people that have grown up, like, you know, depending on what generation you're from, you have different influences. Like, you know, there's all the people that were influenced by the Great Wars, they're kind of gone now, and then there was the Cold War, and then the most recent influence is what happened after 9/11, and it's...
Yeah.
Understanding what people's thoughts are is, I think, central to understanding why the published works that we have are like that.
So basically, we are leaving behind a digital record
of what people assuming
this will, you know, last, that people will be able to mine for data and for information. So I often think, certainly I think of it with the Dixon James podcast, of some PhD student, way in the future, saying, okay, examine the life of a person, and mine that field. What taxes did he pay? How much money did he make? Where was he living? You know, and then you've got the richness of, my God, the guy actually spoke on this podcast. You get to hear his voice. So I like the idea that what we're doing now will be around in 100 years. But
yeah,
it's almost a randomness as to whether anybody ever finds it.
That's funny because I did a podcast, one of the last episodes I did with the Closet Geek Show. I remember me going on a rant, and you may recall this too. And I go back and listen to it, and I'm not happy with how I word it, and I sound like I'm ignorant a little bit in my wording, but I'm talking about the wonderfulness of the internet and the wonderfulness of this rich media playground we have in. And I'm telling people, if you are just listening to this show and not contributing anything, you're squandering the age in which we live. And I don't know if that's still true, but I still think it's really important for people to be putting stuff into the hive mind.
Even if
it's, hey, I went and had a sandwich at this place and you should go there too, because that's, it's not as important as, you know, some things, but it does have importance. It does have meaning, and the hive mind only gets better as we put more stuff into it.
I think what you have succeeded in doing just now is bringing it up to a level worthy of Dave Brodbeck. That you've actually given a very, very clear and valuable insight into this whole thing. You were right on with that. I agree fully. And the wonderful thing is, there are just so many people out there. One of the things, because I was given the opportunity to create a podcast through Bob Goyetch of Bob and Doug and Bob, Sean and Doug, AJ, Doug and AJ, Bob and AJ, whatever their show was, calling out to me and say, put out your own show, you know, put up a shut up. And I did, and created this thing that I had no idea that was going to become. Part of my role now is nurturing other people and other podcasters. And I'm just delighted that there are so many different voices out there and so many people at various stages in their lives and development putting out this record. Like, I came at it really late because the technology was late and I was old. But somebody else is younger, as yourself, putting it in. People are buying into this and contributing, giving, just as you said, at different points in their life. And there's value in all of it. It's quite wonderful. That's probably a good note to end on.
I think this is a good hopeful note to end things on.
This went just a couple of minutes longer than our last show. We'll find some sort of a tune to put in here, perhaps. We usually end with a song, don't we?
Yeah, I think we did last time. I don't know if I have anything off the top of my head this time.
Well, I think I could find one. I think it might be my turn.
Fine.
Yeah, fine. It's my fucking choice. And boys and girls, you're probably going to enjoy this song a lot because I picked it. All right, signing out. And who knows when it'll be. I don't know. Sometimes it goes weeks between shows. Sometimes it's months. Who knows how long it'll be before the next one.
I'm going to say that this summer I will make recording a gappage at least every couple weeks a priority in my life. So
you're going to try that?
Let's make that happen.
Well, are you going to find another gappage partner? Is that how you're going to do this?
No, because I'm just going to say that for my own self, for my own self, I will tell people to fuck off because I got to go record a gappage. That's where I am.
All right. So, but it's a two-way street.
Yeah, I know you got family kinds of shit to deal with. So.
All right, sounds good. Over and out. Talk to you next week.
Goodbye.
Or a couple of weeks, or who knows when.
All right.
Bye for now.
6 months.
Good. Bye-bye.
Bye.